Welcome to the Art of Intentional Creation.
Hello. Today, our hearts wanted to talk about dreams coming true. And so we listened.
So as the Art of Intentional Creation implies, we have these conversations because we seek to intentionally create the experiences of our lives, which really means that we're here to make our dreams come true. And surprise, surprise, they do.
Yeah, it's the most amazing feeling. Dreaming into reality.
Yes. You know, when we were talking about this conversation prior to going live here, we talked about how it's kind of like giving birth to something. Mm-hmm. When you start, you know, in the depths of your imagination and, you know, you just have this idea and you're like, what would it be like if, and then, you know, fast forward however much time, you know, and then it's like, you're actually having that experience in 3D reality. And it's so sweet.
Oh, it is so sweet. And it all starts with an intention, like you said. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's that we start paying attention to what's coming to us, what wants to manifest in our reality. And do you ever notice things kind of reoccurring in your life? It seems yes. like you maybe first become aware to something and you just notice it being there among other things being there. Pops up again, and then you really start noticing it, and you think, "Oh, that's interesting. This is like the third of the. This was brought up in a conversation, or I've noticed in somewhere, or I had a dream, or I had a thought, or I had a feeling, and it kind of becomes crystallizing itself, like standing out from the background, maybe of other things that are also popping up." Because I think that there's always multiple things that are coming, right? Yes. Life is very complex.
Yes.
But then there is this something that kind of, it's kind of like when you go to a party and there is like, you know, 50 people, but you notice this one person for whatever reason. And then you kind of, you may be talking to other people, yet in a corner of the eye, you somehow like register their presence for whatever reason that is, because there's an attraction or because you like how they carry themselves or who you're making up they are or whatever else, right? And suddenly they are popping out much more for you than the other 40 people in the background, or are they just as present?
Yes.
So I feel like the first step to manifesting dreams is just that, paying attention to what's coming up.
Yeah.
And when it comes up and...
Yeah, I was just say, I think really you, I love the party analogy you gave right there. There's something about the way it feels that gets our attention. And I don't know if we're always immediately present to that. Like, oh, this is a feeling that I'm getting. It was just like, oh, for some reason, out of all the things that I could be paying attention to right now, this has my attention. Why is that? And I really think it's because there's something about the way that it feels. And you know, talking about the context of creating dreams into reality or giving birth to a dream into physical reality, a lot of times it starts with a feeling that we kind of get a little taste of, and then we're like, more of that. I want more of that. And as we begin to focus on it, that's when it's like, okay, starting to plant the seeds for what then begins to grow into a dream.
Yeah, I agree with you. It sounds like first is paying attention to what's coming up and noticing, wow, this thing is coming up strongly for me. Why is that? It, like you said, it feels good. There is some kind of draw, some kind of attraction to it. It's, there's a pull, right? Something is pulling me to it. There's energy there, right? That's strong, like a current, like a vibe. Right? Electric and current. And I think in your heart, yes, your heart gets happy, gets excited.
Yes.
And wants to explore more of it.
Yes.
It's a hell yes. I want to see what's there.
Yeah.
Right? Because for now, it's just an idea. It's not something known yet. It's just something that kind of reflects the light. And you're like, ooh, what's this? I want to get closer. I want to explore it.
Yes. Yeah. And out of that peaking of the interest, we can call mm-hmm. that. It piques your interest, kind of catches your attention. Out of that can start to form an idea. So again, talking about dreams coming true, we're talking about this idea of how do I get clear on something that I want to experience and then walk it through this process of building it in my imagination and then stepping into it in my physical life to the point where I can touch, taste, see, smell, talk to, interact with, hug, whatever it is. Right? Like how do I bring something from the ethereal imagination plane down to the physical material plane? And I think that if we're going to go all the way back to the genesis, the very, very beginning of creating a dream, I think it starts with exactly that. There's this moment where you're like, something gets your attention. You're like, there's something for me here. And then when you are attuned enough to your own state, your own level of presence, your own interaction with life, to where you notice these things, they kind of feel like an invitation, or kind of feel like, you know, like you said, like your heart responds to it. And when you're in tune with your heart, to where you feel your heart respond to it, it's an invitation to begin to dream into it and say, what is it that's here for me? What is this an invitation, you know, that's kind of, like you said, it's like a current, like an electrical current, or like something drawing you in. Like what is happening here? What is the opportunity to be kind of drawn into, to begin to really explore what this feeling in my heart is?
I love that. You know what came to me, and I was listening to you use the word in tune, to be in tune with something coming up. Mm-hmm. And what popped up for me immediately was, yes, when we notice that something is in tune for us, to answer the calling, to actually say yes to it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have a tendency to dismiss it. Because I feel like sometimes it feels too abstract, unusual, maybe different, unknown, and there is not enough belief to, or maybe imagination of like, oh, how could it even be possible? It's so out of reach.
Right, which I love what you said there. You're like, oh, it can lead us to just kind of dismiss it. You know, like when, you know, a lot of times when we hear somebody tell us about an experience that they've had, where we find ourselves comparing their experience to experiences that we've had. And when it feels mm-hmm. like their experience is very different than anything we've experienced, we can be left sitting in this feeling of like, wow, I'm glad that worked for them, but I've never experienced anything quite like that. And because I don't have a reference experience to relate to, it really feels mm-hmm. like I could never have an experience like what they had.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like I don't have evidence supporting they could, right? Therefore, maybe I sometimes had that in the past when I would be drawn to something, but I would be maybe afraid to answer the call and actually say yes to it for that exact reason, mm-hmm. because it felt so unreal, so unusual, so out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that leads us to step two. Believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
when we're paying attention and something is coming up and we're feeling in tune to it, right, to actually have enough belief in us to and to have the courage to answer the call and say yes, I'm in, let's explore. I don't know mm-hmm. how yet, but I'm just saying yes to finding out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I need to do to get started.
I feel like this is a perfect opportunity to introduce sharing from personal experience, just to kind of give some color to what we're talking about. So I'm going to use an example of a dream that I have been manifesting into reality. Now to the point where it is in reality and the experience is quickly approaching, the physical 3D experience is quickly approaching. So at the very beginning, we talked about how it's like the first thing you do is you pay attention to something that catches your attention, something, a feeling. And for me, the dream that I'm in the process of manifesting to reality is hosting retreats in beautiful places with beautiful people. And this wasn't something that I've been present to wanting to do for my whole life. Rather, this was something that I became aware of through exactly this. I was in an experience, in a situation similar to a retreat, and I felt a feeling. And I can pop back into the moment. It's so vivid and so clear for me. I remember thinking, this feeling feels like exactly how I want to feel. Like it was like, oh man, this is for me. This feeling is for me. And I was like, what is this feeling? And it was so clear to me. It's like, this is this feeling of being in a position of leadership on a retreat and creating an experience and leading people through this experience. Now that was just like the little seed that was planted. It was like, oh, my heart is really in tune with what's happening right now. And this is what it feels like. At that moment, I didn't have any supporting evidence to say, oh, this is something that I can do. I didn't have any plans, any active plans to do it. I had never seriously considered the possibility prior of this idea of becoming a host of retreats. And it wasn't even something that I had any ideas immediately of how to do, of how to, like, oh, if this is something I wanted to pursue, the rest of the steps to get from that moment where I was like, man, this feels really, really good, to the point where I can call myself as a career retreat host. All of those steps were completely not in my vision whatsoever. I couldn't see any of them. So it's like that first little invitation, that first little moment, that first little feeling that I paid attention to. And then it was, okay, do I believe, you know, talking about step two, our belief, is our belief, do we have the level of belief to support it? I was like, is this something that I believe that I could do? Do I believe that I could host retreats? And so that was like the first moment where I really looked at it and I was like, okay, is this something that is within my realm of possibility? And of course, when we say that, we have to realize that we create intentionally our own realms of possibility. It's quite literally just a matter of how willing we are to stretch what feels normal, natural, and usual to us. How far we're willing to go beyond our wheelhouse or realm of comfort, our comfort zone, to make something possible for us. That's really the question. So I think when we're looking at step two, which is this, you know, looking at our level of belief, it's, am I willing to, in some cases, stick my neck out and say, yes, I believe this is possible for me?
Yeah. So I feel it's at that stage, it's just really the basic belief of what if it was possible? What if it could be possible, right?
What if it could be? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Could it what be if possible I could? For me? Mm-hmm. Not, hey, do I know for sure I can make it happen and I know how?
Right.
No, let's not go to the how. Let's just be like, hey, listen, would I want that? Yes. Would that feel amazing? Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes.
Would I like that to happen? Hell yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Do I have belief in me that it could be possible? What if it could be possible? Even if maybe the level of belief is not as strong yet, instead of asking, is it possible? Sure. But what if it could be possible? And then you get a strong yes. So I feel like at that level, it's just really weighing the strength of belief against the doubts that are coming up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the strength of belief is bigger, that it can dismiss or overcome or maybe quiet those doubts, then it's definitely something that we can run with. We don't need to know how, because our brain naturally starts thinking, oh, but how? And then when we go into the how, is often what diminishes or even kills that dream, right? Because then we get scared and like, oh, but I don't know how. And somehow we take it as evidence of like, oh, then it's not possible, which is not true.
Yeah.
So I feel like that what we need to focus on is just, okay, can I believe that? Can I hold this belief? And can it be stronger than the doubts that might be coming up?
Yes. And on some level, it is just kind of our innate level of belief. But I feel like our innate level of belief is also related to our comfort zone and what we are normally in our natural pattern of behavior accustomed to, you know, seeing as a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you say there's a certain level of belief of what's possible for us, some of that can be related to what we feel is in our realm of possibility, almost like innately, like it's comfortable for me to believe that this is possible. And then there's other things that represent a bit of a stretch. And when we hear the call, like you said, like our heart really resonates with something. Sometimes the invitation is going to be for us to look at something beyond what we're normally accustomed to saying, oh yeah, that feels like something I could do. It might even be the point where you're like, huh, I've never really considered that before. And it feels really, really big. But just because it feels big doesn't mean it can't be. Maybe the bigger and more pertinent question is this really something that I want? If I could experience this, would I want to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I when you were saying that, I felt those two things, scary and exciting. It's okay that it's scary as long as it's exciting.
Because
I think sometimes I think sometimes we expect things to, oh, if it's a yes, then it should be easy. Or I should have no mixed feelings, maybe. Or there should be no fear. I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe, wow, this is so grand. This is so out of my comfort zone. This is so out of my kind of experience, right? I have never done anything like that. Oh, can I do it? I don't know. I don't have evidence yet, right? So it's scary, it's uncomfortable. But, oh my gosh, it also is so exciting. Because what if I could? Because my heart says, hell yes, let's do it. Let's try it. I don't know if I can or cannot, but I want to find out.
Yes. And I feel like at that point, I love what you said there. That's fantastic. It's about the excitement of it. Yes. I feel like there's a moment where it's no longer, is this possible? But rather, how can this be possible? Not in a, I need to know all of the how right now, because that's honestly, that's never how this happens. You know, when you're at this stage of dream seeding, you never have all of the details right up front. It's going to be an unfolding always. It's going to be an unfolding and an ever-increasing, expanding illumination of clarity. But at that moment where it's like, okay, my heart strongly says yes, that if I could experience this, I would want to. And there's like a decision point where you say, okay, it's not, can I do this? But rather, how can I do this?
And by asking, that's just seeding a possibility into our imagination.
Precisely.
Because when we ask the right questions, that we can hear the answers. Right.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's literally what it becomes at that moment. It's like, okay, how can this be possible? And again, rather than trying to see the whole road right off the bat, you just say, okay, well, what would be some questions that I would start to ask if I were to assume that this is possible for me? And I think that might be one of the key words here today, is you begin to assume that, yeah, it can be done. Yes, it is possible. Yes, it is something that I want to have. that I want to experience. So then you start asking questions along those lines. Okay. So for me, it was, okay, I want to host retreats. Okay. What if I could host retreats? Okay. How can I host retreats? And so then the questions that I started to ask myself weren't, is this possible? And they weren't that anymore because I decided, yes, it was. They became, okay, assuming that I'm now hosting retreats, who would I host retreats for? Like where, what types of places would I want to host retreats in? Like it becomes a thinking from the possibility rather than thinking of the possibility.
So it's a dwelling in a pool of possibilities.
Yes.
Yes. So I feel like that leads us. So you already started describing what I feel is our step three, which is clarity. And gaining clarity and the unfolding of the process coming into fruition. Kind of like building a puzzle. You have to start piece by piece.
Yes.
Before you have the full image, right? Or like getting dressed. You know, if you go to an event, depends on what kind of event it is, you may pick a different self-presentation, right? If you're going to a gala, you most likely choose to wear something different than if you're going to a bonfire on the beach, right? So that's the first step. Okay, well, I'm going to a gala. Okay, I want to feel fancy. Okay, well, I want to wear an evening dress, right? So that's step one of clarity. And then you start building up all the add-ons, right? Accessories in the case of a dress, right? Okay, what shoes am I going to wear? How am I going to do my hair? What kind of jewelry am I going to wear, right? What about makeup? So I feel like we now talking about clarity of building on our vision, starting with one piece and then adding on and building around that.
Yes. Yes. And it really plays into fruition through the questions that we start to ask. You know, so it's, again, standing in the possibility and asking questions from the possibility. Those questions lead to ever-expanding clarity. So I love the analogy you gave about building the puzzle. And let's say for a minute that maybe we don't have the box. You know how the box has the image of the final puzzle?
The final image.
Maybe we don't have that. You know, maybe we just have this big, you know, scattering of 1,000 pieces. And it's up to us to start to put them together. We may know, you know, someone may hand us this bag full of pieces and they're like, hey, I'm not going to show you the final image, but I will tell you that it's a picture of a car. Okay. So you're like, okay, well, I guess it's gonna be a car. You don't know what type of car. You don't know where the car is parked. You don't know, you could go all the way down the list of all the things you don't know. But that's not the point. The point is to start with what you do know and then the questions that you can ask.
I like that. I like that a lot. Because I feel like often it's easy to get distracted or disheartened because of the unknown, of being like, wow, this is a lot. This is overwhelming. Or I haven't done it in the past. Like, how do I do this, right?
Yeah.
So like you said, asking the right questions and keep choosing the possibility, keep dwelling in the possibility of it.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. So I think that's a natural bridge there to the next step, which is where, as you know, you said, keep choosing the possibility. Yes. So the thing is as you start to step into this, as it begins to leave the realm of just your dreams and slowly begins to take on the tones of reality, there are some things that will start to come up that could be interpreted in a way that could dissuade you or could provoke some fear or some not enoughness or some, you know, kind of a dissonance where you're like, ooh, now this is a little scary. I'm a little far out of my comfort zone. I don't really know what I'm doing, or I feel overwhelmed. There's limiting beliefs that can start to come up. And I think you made the key point there. As that stuff starts to come up, it's incredibly important to continue to stand in the possibility. Meaning, okay, yes, I acknowledge that this is out of my comfort zone. Okay, so for me, I'm hosting my first retreat at the end of October. I've been on plenty of retreats, but I've never hosted a retreat before. It is out of my comfort zone. So I am having experiences from time to time where some of my limiting beliefs will come up and say, man, this is quite a bit of a stretch. But the key thing is rather than interpreting those voices to mean, oh, this isn't for me, or, oh, I shouldn't do this, or, oh, you know, I should let my fear change my response in some way. I'm choosing to continue to stand in the possibility and view those things that are coming up as invitations to expand my clarity even further.
I love it. So when those doubts or maybe critical voices or fear or limiting beliefs or resistance or overwhelm or any of this sort doubt comes up, instead of latching onto it and running with it, you choose to notice it, pay attention to it, but also not run with it. So awareness versus attention, right? You become aware. Oh, interesting. Not enoughness is coming up, right? Or fear is coming up. And then you switch to attention of, okay, however this is happening, I am not allowing my attention to run with it. I choose to stay in a possibility.
Yes.
And so you choose to see it as a gift that seeds further clarity rather than takes you away from what's possible.
Yes. Yes, very, very well said. And to really make that practical, just as an example, you know, at one point, I, you know, in the process of planning all of this, and you know, it's been an unfolding as we talk about where the clarity is getting clearer and clearer and clearer, to where it's like, okay, now I have the people that I'm inviting to the retreat. Now I have the location of where I'm doing the retreat. Now I'm literally crafting the experience of the retreat. And about, I mean, there's some stuff that came up along the way, don't get me wrong, but really there was a certain point where it was like, man, this is starting to feel like overwhelm. Like how do I do all that is required of me to do to create this experience that I'm so clear that I want to have? And that overwhelm, standing in my possibility firmly, viewing that overwhelm, I interpreted that feeling of overwhelm as an invitation to ask for help. And so that's when I reached out to a couple of people, a couple of trusted people, and I said, hey, will you come with me? Will you come help me lead a retreat? Can I hand over, you know, these events that are planned on this day? Will you take the lead on this? Will you handle the planning of this excursion? Will you, you know, do this? Will you do this? Will this other person do this part? And it's like, if I hadn't honored that feeling of overwhelm, if I had chosen just to ignore it, maybe I wouldn't have seen as clearly as I did when I sat with it while still standing in my possibility. Maybe I wouldn't have seen quite as clearly that that's what it was. It was a, hey, you have the opportunity to ask for help and people will ally with you in this. And then you can step through the overwhelm into something more expansive where now all of these details are being taken care of and you're even freer to continue to dream even bigger.
I love it. So you reframe it. And instead of seeing it as an obstacle, right, or a roadblock, you saw it as an invitation or as a marker or a pointer on your map, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, like a gift that's seeding further clarity. I love it. It's amazing.
There's so much. Honestly, when we talk about people who are powerful manifestors, who are able to bring really expansive, big, beautiful dreams into reality. I'm reminded of a paper that I wrote for school a number of years back about the founders of Airbnb, two friends. And I'm reminded of this moment where they got to the point where they had their dream really clearly, like, hey, this is going to be Airbnb. It's going to be this thing. It's going to enable, you know, people to connect with each other, to provide housing experiences for people that are traveling, unlike anything that's available out there in the world right now. And there's this key moment where they sent emails to a couple of people that they thought would make great investors. And they pitched their product and they said, this is what we have. This is our dream. This is what we believe it can be. And they got back no's. They got back no after no after no. And I'm just using this Airbnb story as one example. You ask anybody who's built something truly worth building and they'll tell you the same thing. There's always a moment where they get a no. There's always a moment where they get a no. And that is the moment. Because in that moment, that is either where you powerfully stand in your possibility and you reframe that no into either a not yet or a not this way, but it's still happening, or you allow that no to crush your dream.
I love how you put it. Yes, very powerful.
And you're standing that moment. It's going to be one or the other. You have to make that choice. And time after time, time after again, the people who are successful in bringing their massive dreams into reality are the ones who, no matter how many no's they get, they reframe it and they say, okay, then I'm going to find something better. Okay, not you. I'm going to find another investor and he's going to give me more money. Oh, not him. All right, I'm going to find another investor and he's going to give me better terms. Oh, not him. I'm going to take it to these people. It's just, they refuse to take no as a final answer because they're so firmly rooted in their possibility. No one can tell them no.
So instead of quitting, they just find a different way.
So I really think that it comes through how they frame the experience of being told no. Because they can either take that no and interpret it somehow that means that the value of their dream or somehow they're misappropriating the value, like somehow it's not as good as they thought it was, or it's not the opportunity they thought it was. Like they somehow make it mean that they're not good enough or their dream isn't good enough. Or they frame it into something better is coming. And we've talked before about the power of our meaning making, our ability to interpret events in our life as having meaning for us. And that's really where our creative power is. And there's a moment where we make that decision that no matter what anyone tells us, we're going to continue to stand rooted in that possibility and continue to look for how can this be possible, regardless of what's coming back to us. That might suggest the contrary.
That's a very powerful place to be in.
I would say it's the most powerful place to be in.
Mm-hmm. Unstoppable. Unfuckable.
Yes. 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 Absolutely. And I say that it's like, You literally cannot fail when you powerfully embody your possibility to that degree. You literally cannot fail.
Feels good.
Yes. Okay, so let's make that a little bit more practical. Let's dock it down. Okay, so yes, we understand that people who bring big things into reality don't allow other people to tell them no, and that chances are at some point we will have an experience where it looks like maybe it's not possible, and that is our invitation to even more firmly embody our possibility. And some of the ways that can come up is going to be Okay, yes, one example, people telling us no. Yep. Another would be ourselves telling ourselves no. So that would be in the form of limiting beliefs or doubts about our abilities, our gift, skills, talents, and abilities. We think somehow we're insufficient. Oh, I don't have the willpower to see this through. I don't have the diligence to see this through. I don't have. Like all of those things can be voices that start to come up and say, oh, this isn't actually possible
for me. So some kind of lack and scarcity is coming up. Is there lack of resources or time or energy or imagination or strength or courage?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the important thing to understand is as we just said, the people who are successful are the ones that can continue to embody their possibility. Yes. But it's more than that. It's also understanding that these things are all a normal and natural part of the process.
I think it's so powerful, normalizing this experience rather than getting freaked out. Oh my gosh, this is coming up. Therefore, it's a sign of whatever. It's not possible. I shouldn't do it. I'm going to fail.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But rather being like, oh, well, interesting. Thank you. This is either protecting me or guiding me. And you know what? It's normal. It's perfect. It was to be expected. In fact, I think that when we normalize it and we expect it coming, it doesn't throw us off as much. It still doesn't feel good, right?
Yes.
But if we expect it, it's not some kind of surprise that just like knocks us down.
Well said. That is so important. Mm-hmm. It's so important to build that into the experience with ease and grace. Like, hey,
honor the struggle, right? Expect it and honor it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Honor it. Honor the struggle. Yes. Yeah. And love ourselves through it. Mm-hmm. You know, pregnancies, right? Like giving birth. Well, let's use it as a human example. Mm-hmm. Pregnancies aren't always easy. Mm-hmm. They can be very painful. They can be very distressing. They can have a lot of complications. Mm-hmm. But it's about loving yourself through it, understanding that what's coming, you know, giving birth to that baby or giving birth to this idea, this dream, you know, made manifest. Like that is worth it. And understanding this is a journey towards that. It's all part of the process. And continuing to love ourselves through it and to, you know, it sounds cliche, but there's so much truth through it. It's enjoying the journey, even when it's rough or even especially when it's rough.
Mm-hmm. And what allows us to do it is having this strong belief that is what our heart desires and also keeping that desired destination very strongly in mind. In heart, in vision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I talk about how once I got clear on my retreats, I was like, okay, I'm hosting retreats, I'm hosting them for my students, and I'm hosting them in Barbados. You know, once I got to that level of clarity, and then I went and I found the villa in Barbados where this would be happening, I started to consciously fall asleep in Barbados every night. And what I mean by that is, you know, I as I would go to sleep, it's so powerful and it's so beautiful. As I would fall asleep each night, you know, my eyes are closed, I'm laying in bed, I would move my consciousness to that moment where I'm in Barbados and the house is full of all of these beautiful people. And I'm laying in my bed and I'm feeling so much gratitude for the experience of the day, knowing that I've literally lived my dream. You know, I've had all these beautiful moments, these beautiful experiences. I've eaten amazing food and I'm just so grateful. And I would even now, you know, months away from the actual event, I'll fall asleep in that state of feeling its truth and feeling its reality. And I think that, you know, when you talk about remaining grounded in the possibility, remaining grounded in the dream, you know, that's one of the key tools is to take that time. I just happen to do it before bed, but you can integrate in other parts of your day too. Take that time to put yourself there and to see the final product, to feel yourself in the final product of what you're building and to relish in it to help you stay grounded in that, so that as things come up to the contrary, you know, invitations for clarity, as we're calling these potentially negative experiences, as these things start to come up, we have that reference experience that's helping us stay clear. It's helping us stay grounded. It's helping us stay confident and hopeful about our ability to actually make it real.
Yes, it's very necessary, very needed, right? To stand strong and tall in our vision, in our being rooted in our belief.
Yeah. Yes. And not just to see it once, but to see it all the time.
To keep building, you know, this belief, right? To keep the faith alive.
Yes.
To keep imagining
constantly
wisely.
Feeding it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And to building this courage, to strengthen the courage, to stay in this coherence of the vision that we have, the desire. So I feel like that's one thing as our insight, inner work. And then you mentioned also asking other people for help or collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. And it's another piece of it.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us a little about that?
Yeah. So some of the things that can come up can be invitations to have a conversation. So for instance, for me, usually whenever I become present to the feeling of overwhelm, you know, this is planning a retreat overseas with all these people flying in from all over the world. There's a lot of moving pieces that go into it. And I found myself at various points feeling present to this feeling of overwhelm. And rather than being like, oh, I'm doing too much, this is too much, this is, you know, too big, or really making it mean anything negative, I've purposefully, intentionally viewed it, framed it as an invitation to have a conversation with someone to help get my thoughts out, to use the mirror of that other person to gain more clarity about, you know, next steps to take, what's most important, you know. But it's also important, particularly at the beginning stages. You know, Violetta, you and I had talked about how a lot of times when you very first become pregnant, you don't tell the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you usually just tell, particularly at the earliest stages, most people wait until the second trimester to share the news more widely. But the various earliest moments, it's like, okay, yep, you tell your partner, maybe you tell a parent, maybe you tell a sister or a best friend, you know, or from a male side, maybe you're telling a brother and a best friend, something like that, right? But like you're kind of careful who you share the news with right away.
You are very protective of it because it's very tender and very precious, right?
Precious and tender.
Mm-hmm. And so you want to treat it like it's precious and you want to be tender with it. You want to be protective of it till it gets stronger so it can, well, out of lack of a better word, defend itself on its own, because it's already strong and powerful and manifested and actually happening and can no longer be pooped on, as as Louise Hay says. She talked about it, about affirmations. You know, how to manifest things into reality through affirmations. And she says, at first, don't share it with anyone. Because a lot of people have this tendency of to poop on your vision and have this need of telling you of how that is not possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or how you could fail.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right. Or it provokes some memory within them of a time when they tried to dream big and failed, or stories that they've heard, or some sort of fear within them. So it's important to choose the people that you share your dream with wisely. And, you know, the way I say it is I share my dream with other people who are also intentional creators, mm-hmm. who understand the process. This isn't new to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not one to look at a dream and say, oh yeah, that's unlikely. They're one to look at a dream and say, oh, that's a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
How can I help you get more clarity so that this can become even more real for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they become allies, or they become enrolled in your dream in some way.
Yeah, they become co-creator of your dream. And it's either by brainstorming or simply supporting your vision, believing in your vision, right?
Yes. That's a key role. And I feel like at this point, we have to say, to those of you who are listening to this right now, we have to say that when someone else approaches you with their dream, make sure you hold it the same way you would want them to hold your dream. If you were sharing from a place of tenderness, you know, this precious,
I like
precious
that.
Thing.
To use the example, since we've been talking about intentional conception and becoming pregnant and then carrying through pregnancy and then actually giving a birth to a baby, it's the same with an idea, right? Let's say you did carry the pregnancy and you actually gave a birth to a baby, in our case, an idea. If you had a newborn baby, you wouldn't just let anyone hold it. You wouldn't just let a stranger babysit it, right? You would be very selective of who you let this baby to be in the presence of.
Yes.
And it's the same with the dream. Something that's precious and tender for you, that you're building, right? That you're creating, your creation.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, yeah, finding people who will hold that level of space for you, and then also being that trusted person that other people can trust with their babies as well. You know? Yeah. Asking really good questions is what comes to mind, but from the place of standing in the possibility with them, not from the place of like, well, what makes you think you can do that?
Mm-hmm.
Rather being like, oh, that's what you want to do. Cool. All right. Well, what would it feel like? If you were on retreat, you know, and you had people that had flown in from all over the world for the experience that you were creating, what would that feel like? Can you put words to it? Can you describe it? Can you begin to paint it? Can you paint it for me? Understanding that you're giving them the gift of exploring their way into further clarity by being that sounding board for them.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like also by talking about what our heart desires, not only we gain more clarity, but we fan the fire in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, we keep dwelling in a possibility, right? Mm-hmm. In the excitement of it coming true, shaping up, becoming real, moving from the realm of imagination to physical reality that we can touch. Like in your case, you know, started with, oh wow, how amazing would it be to host a retreat, getting to the point that, oh my gosh, here is an email, here is a booking confirmation for a place I secured, here is a deposit I'm putting down, right? I have the date, I have the location, I have people who pre-registered, right? Okay, so I feel like we are ready to move to the next step of when the dream actually does come true. And it starts being visible, you know, you can touch it, you can see it, you have proof and evidence of it being in 3D reality. So it moved from being a soft vision in our imagination, and it's hardening into facts. It's becoming complete, right?
Yes. Yes. Well said. Yeah. And it is a gradual hardening, as though it's, you know, like when you're pouring plastic or you're pouring glass or something like that, like it slowly hardens as it cools. And it really is the process of what it happens. So it's like, yes, all the details start to fill into place. It becomes more and more real, and then it's real. And then you step into it, and you can touch, taste, smell, see, talk to, hug, interact with it. It's in the 3D physical reality, and it's quite literally a dream come true.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. A dream come true. Here it is. And you look at it and you feel excited and proud and content and fulfilled. And you think, wow, look at that. I created that. Here it is.
And you know the best part?
Mm-hmm.
The best part is that when it's a 3D reality fact, it's even better. Mm-hmm. It's even better. It's even better than the imagination. You know, I have a pretty vivid imagination. I can dream into some pretty beautiful experiences. And it never ceases to amaze me how when they actually show up and I'm actually in the moment and I'm actually living them, it's so much better, so much brighter, so much sweeter than even my imagination could have guessed. It's I think that's part of the magic of being a conscious creator in this form, in this, you know, and in this world, as it were, is there's a magic to when we become intentional with our creations and things begin to harden into fact. There's an X factor that makes them even better than what we originally imagined.
Indeed, it's a very sweet, magical moment, because we know where we started, right? And to be able to see the journey, and to get to this point is quite an amazing feeling. Okay, so we got our dream come true. We feel complete. It came even more beautiful than we expected. Okay, and then what? You go to Barbados.
The morning after.
Yes, the morning after. So you go to Barbados, you have your retreat. On the last night of the retreat, you fall asleep in Barbados. And the next morning you wake up and the retreat is over. And it's the morning after. And then what? What happens in that stage?
And then what? Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that I think are really important for that moment, for the moment of the morning after having had this experience and then it's over. At least like the super acute version of it is over.
Right.
Like, okay, so in my case, I'm talking about a week-long experience. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's going to end. You know, but it's like, okay, there's a couple of things to be aware of. And one is the recognition of what just happened. And it's, again, to use my example, it's not just, oh, hey, I hosted a retreat in Barbados. Yeah, that's part of it, but it's more than that. It's recognizing the fullness of the journey.
Mm-hmm, the process.
Represent it, mm-hmm, the whole process.
The cycle.
You know, looking back to the moment when I first had that inkling of an idea of like, oh.
The inception of the idea, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Like the very first, yes. Looking back to that inception point of, oh, this really became a first inkling of a possibility all the way up to the point where now I've had the experience and I'm sitting in the morning after. So I think recognition of all of that is very important. I think it's important to honor the gravity of what we've done. And what I mean by that is we are creators. And the idea is that we are becoming ever more conscious of our process of creation and ever more intentional with what we choose to create. So I think it's important to honor the gravity of, you know, hey, I took something from just a fleeting imaginary thought and I brought it into 3D physical material reality, and understanding that that is what we're here to do and to experience in this form, and to honor everything that went into that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love it. So recognizing what has happened, how it started, how it unfolded, what the steps were, right? Maybe what the hangups were or the dangerous turns, how we navigated them, right? Mm-hmm. What worked, what didn't work, maybe reflecting on what we would do different next time, right? So the recognition, the reflection, and then the learnings that come from the having that experience, right? Who we have become because of this experience, right? How it shifted our identifications, our beliefs, our wheelhouse of what we think is possible. And I think that leads us to the fourth element of celebrating, because that's all so worth celebrating.
Yes, it absolutely is worth celebrating.
And
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was just going to say all that, what that sounds like to me is a journal exercise. That sounds like, as conscious creators, it sounds like it's important to sit down with a piece of paper after the completion of bringing something big into reality, having an you know, culmination type experience. I think it's important to sit down and get out of our heads onto paper in some way, our experience of it, what we're present to around it, honoring the journey, looking back at all those things you said about, you know, the points at which it was rough, the points at which, you know, it required, you know, a additional staying power, you know? And then you said the learning. I think that's critically important too, is I think we do learn not just, you know, logistical things about, like, my instance, how to host a retreat. I mean, yeah, I'll learn about that too, but I think we also learn more about how to be a conscious, intentional creator mm-hmm. through the process of actually doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we learn more about, like you said, not just logistics, not how to's, but even more so, who we are.
Yes.
How we complete things, how we respond to things when they come. Because those are the higher level skills we can use in any concept, any endeavor, any project, right? Like you said, maybe building a retreat is the first time doing it. And yes, when you learn about researching venues and securing venues and contracts, if you do retreat again, you can then just reuse it, right? But in any other process, you may again start another process. It's again first time. But in the process of doing the retreats, you have learned about yourself things that you will apply. You have learned yes. about the process itself that you will apply,
yeah.
right, in a different setting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I yeah, think what it absolutely. Leads us to is that what this experience does, it really builds confidence. Because we have this experience, we succeeded, right? And maybe even, let's say that the vision wasn't as grand as we imagined. There is still so much to be celebrated, right?
Yes.
To saying yes to what we wanted, to be tenacious in it, to taking it to a completion, right?
Yes.
That all builds our self-esteem, our level of believing in ourselves, our confidence, because now we have an experience. We have learned so much, right? And we have evidence that we can touch and smell and feel, like you said, the evidence of, wow, I can do hard things. And I don't yes. need to know how to. I just have to say yes to it. And it will unfold.
Yes.
If I stick with it,
yes.
it will come to fruition.
Yes.
And what I think that leads us to then is when we have this confidence and we choose to focus on this evidence to support the experiences we have, then we have this new level of excitement that makes us dream even bigger next time.
Yes.
Makes us say yes to things again that may seem scary or big at first. Right?
Yes.
It gives us this feeling of daring.
Yes.
Of boldness.
Wow. Yes.
Of courage, which is yes. very powerful, very empowering.
Wow.
And I feel like the pool of possibilities becomes bigger. Maybe now it's not a pool. Maybe now it's a huge lake.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And you think, ooh, I, you know, didn't know how this is going to happen and I did it. Wow. What else can I do? What's next?
Yes.
Hmm.
Wow. So beautifully said. That feels so good.
It sure does, doesn't it? Makes the heart yes. happy.
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite the map for you know, this topic of when dreams come true.
Okay, any closing thoughts, invitations? encouragements?
Just encouragement, wherever you are, whoever, you know, listening to this and you're thinking about your dream, whatever it is that you're in the process of standing in the possibility of, just continue to do it and understand that you do have the ability to be unstoppable. You truly do. And it's all about how you respond to what comes up. So just an encouragement to frame anything that comes up as an opportunity to expand in clarity and understand that you are unstoppable when you do so.
I agree. My closing thoughts, and it's an invitation. So we all keep choosing our dream regardless of obstacles that may be coming up, regardless of lack of evidence in the past, regardless of maybe limiting beliefs or lack of support on the outside, to keep choosing the dream that we want to manifest.
Yes.
Because they always do. If we listen to them and if we stick with them, they always do. It's the most magical, amazing thing. And it's not logical at all. In fact, it gives me goosebumps now. We're just thinking about it. Of so many examples in my life when that has happened.
Yes.
Such a powerful place to be a powerful manifester and to intentionally create. Are we complete?
I am complete.
Wonderful. Well, in that case, thank you. I love you. Stay tuned and come back for more.
Okay. We'll talk to you next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this intentional creation. Find us on Instagram @ArtOfIntentionalCreation.